Voyage.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome to this edition of Scumbags of History with your hosts Brittany Schmidt and Mateen Stewart.
I'm talking about scumbags of history. Talking about these people suck ass.
These people suck.
They were pieces of shit.
Total shit.
They still pieces of shit. Scumbags of history. Scumbags of history.
Mother Teresa, Dr. Seuss, Albert Einstein. Is it possible that these enlightened figures of history are total scumbags? That's what we try and decide here on Scumbags of History, where we pick through the dirty underwear pile of the lesser known facts about some of the famous people society has put on a pedestal. We are your hosts, confirmed scumbags, Brittany Schmidt and
Mateen Stewart.
We're comedians, not historians,
nah.
So we're probably going to get stuff wrong from time to time. And by time to time, I mean all the time.
Her more than me.
Mateen, yeah, Mateen knows. Mateen's got facts in that big head. I do not.
Yeah.
I don't have much between the ears. So don't use us as a reference in your research paper. Let's get started.
Scumbags.
Today we're talking about Charles Dickens.
Dickens.
Dickens was my nickname in
college.
Beloved author and timeless novels. Yes.
Yeah.
Scumbag who gaslit and dumped his wife for a teenager.
Sounds about right.
Possibly. Please, sir, I want some more. I bet you do. Okay, tell me what you know about Charles Dickens.
I just remembered what I knew about him when you said, please, sir, I want some more. So he wrote Oliver Twist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He also wrote a myriad of other books that I probably know that he wrote, but I can't really think of it right now.
Yeah, so he is the most well-known and celebrated novelist of the Victorian era.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know what the Victorian era is or when that was.
Can we see what the Victorian era is?
Victorian era, I'm going to guess. Why don't we guess?
It's like
1905.
1800s?
1905.
What is it?
1837 to 1901. Okay,
okay so
there we go. That's a long, long time ago.
That is a long time.
Okay. So.
63 years.
Ago?
No, 63 years, the reign.
Yeah.
He was the goat of those 63 years.
The Victorian era. Okay. He wrote classics like A Christmas Carol.
Okay. I should know that.
Oliver Twist and The Great Expectations.
Okay. I don't know what The Great Expectations
is. So he was popping off.
But I love
popping off at the pen.
Do you like The Christmas Carol?
I don't know.
Okay, you're not a theater nerd like
no,
me.
No, I'm not. And also, yeah. I don't think I've read any of these books.
Or any books. Okay.
No, I do read books, believe it
you
or not.
You wrote a book.
I wrote a book, yeah. And I just don't retain knowledge. Like the way that I always tested in school, I could remember facts for like a week and then they're just in and they're out.
Yeah.
It's just rotating.
Just rotating knowledge.
Rotating facts.
So
yeah.
you never had to read The Christmas Carol or...
I might have read it.
Okay.
I just don't know.
The first memory I have of A Christmas Carol was the Mickey Mouse version.
Yeah.
When I had to split the pea.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay. Dickens is known for satirizing British society and aristocracy. He wrote about London's extreme poverty, especially the struggles of children and orphans.
So Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist.
Tiny
so
Tim.
What is, I mean... Orphan Annie is a different thing than Oliver Twist.
Yeah. Annie was a girl's orphanage.
Yeah.
And Oliver Twist was...
The female adaptation of Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist He was an orphan. An orphan. He was an orphan.
Okay. So here's what you don't know about Charles Dickens.
Everything.
Dickens' novels about the struggles of the working class directly led to reform in workhouses, boarding schools, hospitals, and slums. So that's pretty good. Because usually when you write about shit and complain.
So it's like he was like Twitter. Like someone would go to someplace and like, or Yelp.
Yelp. He was like Yelp. So he's like,
But it changed society.
We need a house. Yeah. Yo, I need a bed. Okay. He published his novels in monthly or weekly installments that were more affordable, inspiring a new class of working class
readers. How much is this guy writing? That's
obviously a lot.
Jesus.
But if he's putting his novels in weekly or monthlies, that means he must be splitting them up.
Yeah, he has
to. You're not publishing full novels in a newspaper. He supported over 43 charities, including weirdly named ones like the Poor Man's Guardian Society and the Royal Hospital for the Incurables.
The Royal Hospital for the Incurables.
That sounds like a movie.
Yeah. It sounds like a place where Mother Teresa has her her lepers.
MT.
Him and MT was hanging out. So he was supporting the charities.
What? Okay.
He 40 some charities?
Supported charities, made a little change. Doesn't sound horrible yet.
No. I mean, these all sound like good things. Yeah. So I want to see why he's here, though.
We're going to take a break for our sponsors. Don't go anywhere. We're getting into the scumbag fest when we come back.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Charles Dickens was a prolific writer and social critic, but he's here for a reason.
He is here. I want to hear this.
Yeah. Dickens had some marital dramas with his wife, Catherine, whom he liked to refer to as his dearest darling pig.
His DDP.
DDP. And that was... Dearest darling pig
Why is that so funny? Dearest darling pig.
I love that. Was that DDP?
That was a good read of him. I thought he was going to say something. I did not expect it. Dearest darling pig.
Dearest darling pig.
Oh my God.
And that's during the good times. That's what he called her during the good times. Geez. It got worse. And I don't know if the nicknames got any better. But anyway, Catherine bore him 10 children.
10 kids.
That's a lot.
Oof.
It's a lot. My dad's from a family of 12.
Wow.
Yeah. Some bitches just pop.
Popping that pee.
Popped about.
That DDP. She popping that pig is popping.
That pig is popping. Jiffy popping pig.
Just a popping pig. Boop. Pop. Oink, oink.
The two were married for over 20 years.
He was porking her a lot.
Okay.
Okay, I'll stop. The two were married for over 20 years,
but eventually he started complaining about her to his friends. That happens. Yeah. That's normal.
Then he
put on a play, a melodrama set in the Arctic. He hired a 17-year-old actress, Ellen Tiernan, who was instantly smitten by. She was younger than most of his children. Of course she was.
Can we see a picture of Ellen Tiernan? I always want to see who these guys. Ellen.
Most
Tiernan.
Historians agree they had an affair, and they may have even had a child together who died in infancy. Yikes!
The fact that she had 10 kids.
We're not going to find a picture of Ellen. There weren't pictures back in the day, Mateen. Well,
we
didn't have photographs. What, it's going to be like a cave painting on the wall?
No.
Eventually, Dickens built a wall separating his and his wife's bedroom in two so he wouldn't have to deal with her anymore.
We found a picture of Ellen Tyrin.
Okay, I'll eat my words.
Let me see. I guess she's hot pretty? For back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like the very stoic. It's a very stoic picture of her with her. She has nice hair.
Okay. All right, so she's pretty. So good for Dickens. Dickens was putting his dick in.
Dickens Tyrin.
So he built a wall and he separated him and his wife's bedroom in half. And I don't hate this idea.
So like, built a wall.
Straight up wall down the middle. You know what I would really like? Just a wall that like also it just cuts the bed in half.
Bed in half and you can just like back in the, you wouldn't want two beds. Like back
well,
in the
no,
day.
I would want two beds, but I think it would be funnier if it was just.
Are you a cuddler?
No.
Yeah, I know. I need to answer anyway. You don't like people. I don't even know why I asked that. Like, get away from me.
Oh my God, no. So a guy tried to cuddle. You know who tried to cuddle with me the other day. And I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you mean? He's like, this is how I fall asleep. And I was like, well.
I guess I leave now.
I'm going to have to call the police.
You're not a cuddler.
No.
I'm
of course you're a cuddler.
I'm cuddling. I like to cuddle.
Yeah, you like.
I
don't mind cuddling, but not to sleep.
I mean,
you don't cuddle sleep. You cuddle sleep? That's insanity.
I have cuddle sleep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, according to some accounts, he sent Ellen a bracelet with a poem. It got lost and it was returned to Dickens' home, and his wife Catherine got it back and confronted him. She's like, what the fuck is this,
so
dog?
He wrote a poem and put it in a bracelet.
And a poem lost. And a bracelet, and it got returned to sender, and
somebody snitched.
She presented it to her lord. This is what Catherine did. She presented it to her lord. First of all, her lord. When he came home.
Her lord. He was her lord.
Why?
I guess that's lord. That's what they call it. He's British, English.
You call lord? Your husband lord?
Lord, so he was Lord Dickens.
Okay, all right. She presented it to her lord when he came home, and she simply said, Charles, I wish you would not be so open in these matters. Whereupon he went on towering passion and said he would not stay another minute in the same house with his wife.
So she was like, yo, just don't
yeah,
be
just
out
chill.
In public.
Just
like,
don't
chill.
Send
like,
bracelets via the fucking Pony Express.
Yeah, because someone's going to see it.
Yeah.
And now you put our business in the street.
Right, don't put our business in the street. Yeah. And then he's like, you know what's in the street now? You.
Bye-bye, DDP.
Bye-bye, dear starling pig. He then exiled his wife to a separate house, which I don't hate this either,
no.
And cut her off from him, their children, and her sister, who he kept as a housekeeper. Interesting power move.
He definitely is fucking her sister.
Probably, but yeah. It doesn't say that. Okay, so despite the fact that he didn't really like his kids, he called one of his daughters Lucifer's Box.
Lucifer's Box.
Which is a weird way to put pussy in your daughter's nickname.
Yeah, that is yeah. Weird.
Because he didn't like her opinions. He legally separated from Catherine in 1858, which, by the way, never happened in this like time period. You used to just die. You married someone and then you like died when you were like 32.
Yeah.
Dickens was like, you are so insufferable.
I can't be with you.
Piggy pig. So
that's all, folks.
Well, that's all, folks. Rumors about Dickens' affair swirled amongst his social circle, at the horse races, and at the gentlemen's club. Dickens, what?
He was a gambler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dickens wrote a furious letter in which he blamed his wife for everything, saying that the peculiarity of her character made her an unfit mother, and she had a mental disorder.
He called her weird, like, you weird, crazy bitch.
Yeah.
I think that's always a guy's go-to.
Yeah.
I always call girls crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're nuts because I'm fucking a toddler and you got mad about it. Literally, she didn't even get mad. She was like, just keep your shit tight, B. Right. He gave the letter to a friend and told him to show it to anyone gossiping about him. That's really funny. You think about like, that's like the old school social media.
Social media, putting a blast.
He penned a letter and gave it to a homie.
It was like,
every time you hear some shit.
Share this.
Hear some shit.
Dude, that is like, this is the thing, right? we always talk about how like society today and we like so this, so that, but like they were doing the same shit.
So it's, I mean, he is petty medium. Spaghetti, yes. On a different level. Yeah. Like imagine how angry you have to be to pen a letter. It's like that Sebastian joke about picketing or like striking or whatever. He's like, I would never get mad enough to go to a craft store and write a sign.
Yeah.
He's like, you have to pick up crafts. You have to stay mad while you're in Michael's craft store.
And you gotta go walk in the sun. I was in the writer's strike and I go, yuck.
No, I know.
So he wrote this letter. He's like, yo, homie. Yeah.
He's like, every time when you hear something, shut it down with this letter.
Tell these motherfuckers, keep my name out their mouth.
He then penned another open letter.
Oh, man, he is a writer.
But he is drama.
Yeah.
No, there's no pause when agitated here for him.
No, he's just going.
Yeah, he's just...
It's like, fuck this.
Yeah, he penned another open letter to all of his readers that was sent to all of London's major newspapers addressing the gossip and his affair and insisting that his relationship was platonic. He wrote that there's not on this earth a more virtuous and spotless creature than this young lady. I know her to be innocent and pure and as good as my own dear daughters, who he calls Lucifer's box.
Yeah.
So he definitely was fucking Ellen.
Yeah, he's definitely fucking this 17-year-old girl. Who's probably
almost, by the way, nobody knew what he was talking about, but now everybody
knows.
Yeah.
So his plans backfired.
Yeah. And it became international news. It became way bigger than it was. If he would have just let the town gossip fade.
Or just listen to his wife like, yo, keep your shit tight, bro. Yeah. To publish something in a newspaper. Like, yo, I know y'all been hearing this stuff. It's like like having a press conference. Everyone's like, yo, man, we didn't know you were fucking a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like Drake going up to a conference, like, talk about how he wants to bang. What's that girl's name? Millie Bobby Brown.
Why can't he bang her? She's 18.
No, before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he did that?
Yes. He was like texting her and she was talking about like he would call her and stuff like that. Yeah.
No.
You didn't know all about that?
No.
Yeah.
Drake.
Yeah. I'll show you. But that's like him. That's like him just coming out. Saying this and like you didn't know, like him coming out, like, yo, the rumors
what
are.
What did he come out and say?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
She was just like, Drake calls me, he's my friend. And like, why? How is he your friend? You're 15.
Yeah. Drake's not your friend.
14 year old. Yeah, 31.
About boys
and the
text
internet.
About boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is not good.
It's not good.
But that's not the first time Drake's been called a groomer.
Ugh.
He gets that a lot.
Ugh.
Back to the Dickens. Okay, yeah, so nobody knew what he was talking about. After his separation, he apparently tried to use his influence and a friendship with a psychiatrist who ran an insane asylum to have Catherine diagnosed as mentally ill, and the doctor refused.
This is a power move. A lot of men did this to women back in the day.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the doctor refused. The doctor was his friend and also still refused. Was like, no, she's actually not crazy. Literally, she's the least crazy. That is the least crazy response to having an affair. Being like, just keep it tight. Keep it tight, dog. Don't put it on the streets. Don't be sending bracelets.
Don't do this shit in public, bro. Yeah. Like, just keep this shit.
And he's like, she's crazy. And then he's crazily furious.
This is the same man that has built a wall in his room to keep her on her side of the room.
Oh, my God. As we mentioned, he was not great with his kids. He sent his sons away to Australia to work when they were as young as 15.
Mm.
His kids would later say he cared more about books than his kids. Kate Dickens said, my father was like a madman. He did not care a damn what happened to any of us. Nothing could surpass the misery and unhappiness of our home. So a bad dad, that's nothing to
awful
write home
dad,
about.
Awful husband.
Yeah. He was also a shitty friend. Once he invited his famous author, Hans Christian Andersen, to stay at his house for a week. Then he offered to let him stay longer. After over a month, okay, this guy stayed too long anyway, Hans found a message on his bathroom mirror that said, Hans Andersen slept in this room for 5 weeks, which seemed to the family ages.
So he
opened up his home to somebody and then decided they stayed too long after asking.
But didn't tell him, but just wrote a note like,
this motherfucker stayed in this room. So he's passive aggressive.
Oh,
he's petty as hell.
Ugh.
He's cheating ass hoe and a bad dad. So his friend stayed there and then he just leaves a super passive aggressive note. And then his friend is so ashamed. He packed and left immediately.
Oh my God, I stayed too long. That's like
oh my God.
The things that people had to worry about.
I'm so embarrassed. Oh, So why haven't you heard any of this before? Well, Dickens scholar Michael Slater notes in his book, The Great Charles Dickens Scandal, that Dickens, and after his death, his family worked hard to keep his scandal under wraps.
Keep it clean.
Yeah. And mostly succeeded in preserving his reputation as a pure-hearted domestic man. But hey, at least now you know better.
Now you know better. Now you know he's a scumbag.
Okay, so all things considered, he's a great writer.
Great writer.
He writes classics. He writes petty letters. He writes
newspaper articles.
Passive aggressive shit. Yeah. He writes it all.
He's a writer.
He's a writer's writer. He's a writer's writer. But he's also not a great dad. We don't have a ton of details on how he's a bad dad, except for that they just
say, Lucifer's box.
Yeah, well, Lucifer's box is not a great dad. Cheats on his wife. Kicks her out. Calls her crazy.
Yeah.
But he wrote some cool shit. Scumbag score from 0 to 100.
0 to 100. So. He wasn't abusive.
No.
Physically. At least it didn't come out. Awful dad, awful husband, awful friend. Didn't kill anybody.
I don't know if he's an awful friend. He just, I mean, this is the kind of a bad example of like being an awful friend, because he asked this guy to stay. He said, you can stay. And then he's like, you stayed too fucking long. I wrote him a letter. That's not the worst thing. I've had five people do worse shit.
All had worse. Yeah. Well, we don't know the scale though. That could be like a grand, like staying too long could be like, oh, you never do that. You know what I mean?
So we don't live in the Victorian era.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a lower score than
I am too.
Than I have anybody else so far.
Yeah.
I'm going like 63.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. I just don't think he's that scummy. I don't think here's the problem.
It's actually not outside the box scumbag.
No, it's not outside the box scumbag. And the scummy shit he did, I mean, okay, so the actress is 17 years old.
That's scummy.
I don't know what the laws were back then.
It's a little different because people live long, less, they live
not as long. Not 17 as long, was yeah. old. So I don't know what the age of consent was.
Yeah.
So the 17-year-old is a red flag here for me. But I don't think cheating on your wife, don't do it if you cannot, obviously. But I don't think that's blasphemous. Like, I don't think it's the most
insane. I'm more upset that even after she was like, yo, it's cool, bro.
Right, he was crazy.
Yeah, he
that's
called
the
her
thing. Like, he's like petty and crazy.
Did he try
like,
to get her committed?
He gaslit her.
Yeah.
He did gaslight her. Yes. He tried to make her think she was the crazy one. He's the crazy one penning letters.
Yeah, and putting up walls in his room.
I mean, giving letters to your friends to be like, anytime you hear anything about taking out an ad in a newspaper.
Yeah.
To talk about an affair that nobody knew you were having.
So yeah, I'm going, what'd I go, 63? Where are you going?
I'm going lower. I'm going to go like 45.
45? Oh, below 50.
Yeah, I don't think he's that scummy.
Okay.
I just don't, there's nothing here that like, if you consider the time which is a land
he's
before
a white
time,
man in England. And a successful white man in the
1800s.
Yeah. 1800s.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I just don't think he did anything out of the box scummy, except for he's petty and he's embarrassing with how he handles shit. But I don't think he's really a fucking, I don't think he's really, really scummy. Like, some of these guys are really, really scummy, and I just don't think Dickens is that scummy.
Yeah.
I also don't really care about his work. I think it's cool that it changed some stuff.
But it doesn't have an impact on your life.
No. No.
Not really.
So yeah, no. I don't really.
I mean, Christmas Carol is fucking great.
Yeah.
But also, yeah. Yeah.
Totally. So yeah, factoring in the legacy, do you stand? Do you stand for Chuck?
No, I would, like, honestly, like I said, I gave him a low score. You gave him lower to me, but I still don't
think. I just think we're all scumbags. Like, I think we've all cheated. Like, you've cheated.
Yeah, it's like normal scumbaggery shit.
Yeah, it's just normal. Very normal. Like, I would have a hard time finding five people who haven't done the things you've done.
Like, we could text like six of them right now.
Yeah. Most of my friends have done everything that he's done.
Yeah.
From being a bad parent. I know absent fathers. I know deadbeat.
People that post all their shit on Instagram.
Yeah, people that blast everything.
They're sitting around people's nudes and shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think he
would thrive.
Yeah, he would thrive in this
2023.
Era. God, can you imagine him on Threads? Dickens on Threads would be fucking.
I should start
popping.
A Charles Dickens thread.
Oh my God, you should. That would be so funny.
But yeah, I don't. Yeah, great work. Not life changing to me, but
yeah, We've all gotten ourselves in trouble with this kind of stuff before.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. All right. Question to the fans.
Yes.
When has thinking with your Tiny Tim gotten you in trouble?
Yeah.
Probably never. Never has it ever.
No, it always happens. Your Tiny Tim can be your...
Also, why is his tiny?
Tiny Tim is the... the name of
the character,
the guy's
okay,
son.
I see what we're doing.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, let us know when you got in trouble with your Tiny Tim.
We're putting a wrap on the Dickens.
Wrap on the Dickens. On this episode, we're doing a literary doubleheader of writer scumbags Charles Dickens and J.M. Barrie.
Welcome to this edition of Scumbags of History with your hosts Brittany Schmidt and Mateen Stewart.
Nobody's gonna know who this person is.
It doesn't matter.
I barely know.
That's
who this
why we're
person
here. We're here to learn. We're here to teach.
We're here to learn.
We're here to make sure that people
Some
know.
Some people aren't here to learn.
You may not know who the person is, but they'll,
you know
afterwards.
You know what they did.
Who is the person?
J.M. Barrie.
Who the fuck is J.M. Barrie?
Exactly.
What did J.M. Barrie do?
First thing we need to do with every scumbag is see what they look like. Because we need... All right. He's got a mustache for days.
He has a stash.
A stanky stash.
Whenever I see a stash, I be like, this guy...
Eats pussy.
No, it's like... This guy's mustache stinks so bad. So why is this guy here? Well, what is he famous for?
Well, he wrote Peter Pan.
Okay, so everyone knows what Peter Pan is. I know Peter Pan. It's a story of the
boy who would never grow up.
Never grow up. And they went to the islands and he had to fight Captain Hook.
Allegedly.
And then he had the Weird Pirates and then the Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway. Sir.
He was a sir.
He's a sir.
Not a saint.
Not a saint.
He's not like Mother Teresa.
Saint Elton John.
So Peter Pan was...
The first thing that comes up is Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean when you Google Peter Pan. So that is on the internet.
No, it's like Peter Pan is...
Peter Pan, hold your horses. Let me just tell you. Let me tell you about Peter
about
Pan.
Sir,
Let
about
me tell you
sir.
About Sir J.M. Barrie, yeah, who is okay. a Scottish playwright. Immediately gets points in my book because he's Scottish and I love that accent. He was born in 1860. That's a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's best known for writing the play Peter Pan or The Boy Who Would Never Grow Up. So the titles were reversed. Obviously, it was reduced down to Peter Pan when Disney grabbed it by the nuts.
Okay.
In 1904, which he adapted into a widely acclaimed novel, Peter and Wendy, in 1911. The world of Peter Pan has inspired a buttload of other books, comics, plays, movies, and theme park rides, especially since the book's EU copyright expired in 2008.
Yeah, so you can do whatever you want once
it expires.
You can do
whatever you want with it.
That's why,
crazy?
You know, Disney
just take shit from
Mickey
people?
Mouse is coming up on that, so that's why
yeah.
Disney changed their logo. My favorite Peter Pan rendition is Hook.
Porno Pan?
No, I've never seen Porno Pan, but Hook is my favorite. With Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite.
That was good. I saw that a long
it's
time ago.
Peter Pan.
Is that Robin Williams?
That's Robin Williams. That's Dustin Hoffman. And, Peter Pan.
Robin Williams, we didn't deserve him.
No.
He was too good for us.
Peter, will your father love you like this?
Peter Pan.
And then my man, shout out to my man Dante Bosco, who played Rufio. Rufio. Pan, man.
Pam.
My favorite part of the movie, they're like, you're doing it, Peter. You're doing it. He's like eating the fucking fake food. But anyway, back to this fucking sir.
No. I want to keep talking about you and all of your experiences with Hook and Peter Pan. Did you watch Disney's Peter Pan when you were growing up?
Yeah, he can fly, we can fly, we
I
can
like
fly.
I like Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell?
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell.
I like Tinkerbell. I always thought Tinkerbell was the Tooth Fairy when I was growing up.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You know who played Tinkerbell and Hook?
Marilyn Monroe.
No, Julia Roberts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Oh yeah, there she is.
But she was like they had like a weird love thing with her and Peter. I was like,
there's always got to be a love affair.
How did that work? Like,
Peter put his whole body inside
of
her.
Well, she grew in the movie for like a second. She used her fairy dust to get bigger, and they like
Peter
kissed.
Was his butt plug.
No.
Her butt plug.
No, she.
Oh, because she's the small one.
She's a small one. Come on, bro, get your shit together.
Okay.
Captain Hook's one of my favorite villains, though. James P. Hook.
Okay, Anything else? I didn't really watch Peter Pan. I think I maybe saw it once.
I don't remember.
I watched Cinderella 400 times.
I watched Cinderella 400 times.
Because I would always have to do chores. My mom would make me do chores. Bibbidi bobbidi. Like, someone's going to fucking make me a dress and I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Nobody made me a dress.
Cinderella, Cinderella.
And there was no Prince Charming.
I didn't realize her real name's not Cinderella.
What is it?
It's not Cinderella. They just called her Cinderella because she was always in the cinders. So she was always in the cinders, like the dust, the dirt.
Yeah.
The dusk, the
so
cinders.
So what's her name?
I don't know her real name. It's not Cinderella.
Don't say that fact if you don't know her real name.
We can look it up. What's Cinderella's real name? Is it Aurora?
Aurora?
No, that's Sleeping Beauty.
Borealis?
No, Cinderella's real name.
Fucking Cinderella, bitch.
What is her real name?
Ella.
Ella.
Oh, but she was in the cinders.
Yeah.
Ella in the cinder.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, Cinderella.
Like, you learn something new every day.
I know.
I don't even know what cinder is. Cinder
like
block.
Cinders. Like cinder, like the ashes.
Like my mom.
Yeah. Mine too. I have her ashes at my house right now.
Cinder mama.
Her ashes are in an envelope in a moving box right now.
My sister tried to spread my mom's ashes because she wanted her ashes to be spread on horseback. And so she put a little bit of ashes in a Ziploc bag. She was wearing my dad's hunting coat. It was freezing outside. And then when she went to pull the Ziploc bag out, all the ashes just fell in my dad's pocket. And I would say objectively that was the last place she wanted to be spread.
Oh my god, that's the last her.
And my dad said, just spread it, her ashes spread at the dry cleaner.
Yeah, he's just like,
yeah, exactly, just like emptying the pocket. Oh, you know, my when god. You get shit in the pocket. That shit's your ex-wife. My god is good.
God
life
is good
is
all
funny.
The time. One day I'll spread my mom's ashes. I had plans on like planting her
in a tree.
In a tree, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's nice. Yeah. But you liked your mom.
I did like my. I love my mom.
Yeah, that's nice. Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah, it's okay.
My mom was a bitch.
Bring it up, or you don't. She's not coming back. So
nothing we say is bringing either. What if they both walk through the door? Right,
I know.
Like a cloud of smoke.
They're just on an island with Peter Pan, living forever.
Yeah. They're hanging out. I would like to think right now, like, your mom's hanging out with fucking Tupac and Kobe and,
that'd be
doing
great.
Gang shit.
Yeah. I hope so.
Okay. So, here's what you don't know about J.M. Barrie, which is everything.
Yes, Sir J.M. Barrie.
The story of Peter Pan was based on a close bond he formed with five young Llewyn Davis brothers that he met strolling through the Kensington Gardens.
That sounds sketchy.
Sketchy.
It was always sketchy because the Lost Boys and like they're just together. There's no girls.
Yeah, I mean, plot aside, anytime an adult makes friends with kids,
it's always weird.
It's always weird.
Yeah, you can't have like kid friends.
I remember,
it's like when they ask R. Kelly, like, do you have teenage friends? He goes, what do you mean by teenage? Like 18, 19, like teenagers.
I remember one time I was on vacation in Puerto Rico with my mom and my sister. My mom was always very protective, to her credit, going to give her credit on this one. She was probably right. We were in the hot tub with these two old guys, mm-hmm. and they started talking about like the ski resort they had and how they wanted us to come skiing, and we're kids, so we're like, this sounds fucking
awesome.
Oh my
god, you have skis?
Yeah, I'm like, there's snow and skis? Like, I'm fucking in. And then I go to my mom and I'm like, they're gonna invite us, we're gonna go to their like chateau in Bail. And she's like, the fuck you are. And then she like went over to them and was like, you talk to my kids again, it'll be the last thing you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was really dramatic. And
yeah,
now
you look back
on it,
she was saving
like,
you from being sex trafficked.
Yeah I was like, oh, that was a close call. I'm an idiot. Kids are not smart.
No, they're not. They'll do anything.
I'm like,
for
you're
candy.
Gonna give me a gingerbread cookie and a fucking
and skis.
I'm fucking
sign me up.
After the success of Peter Pan, Barrie continued writing mostly dark plays for adults.
Okay, so he wrote a key.
So he's a perv. Like, Peter Pan was pervy, and he got away with it and became incredibly successful. And he's like, I'm going to do more of what I love, which is perv shit.
Perv shit.
This included Half an Hour about a cheating wife whose husband gets hit by a bus and dies. Sounds like he's manifesting.
He is manifesting.
Yeah. He's a master manifester. Soon before dying in 1939, Barrie wrote in his diary, may God blast anyone who writes a biography of me. So God's going to blast us.
Blast us.
God's
going to blast
smoked.
Us. Sorry, sir.
Sorry, sir.
Fuck you guys.
We're going to get fucking smoked blast on our way
home.
We're
going to get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Like that.
But driver's name is Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to find out why he said that. Okay, love that. Guess what? We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
With some scumbaggery, baby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Welcome back. So, back. How did the guy behind your favorite Lost Boys end up in the Scumbag Hall of Fame?
I'm guessing he did some like weirdo pedophile stuff.
Okay, pedo. Votes on pedo.
Pedo.
We'll find out. It all comes down to the five Lewin Davis brothers who Barry met after 4 years of a childless marriage to an actress.
He was married to an actress.
So he's married to an actress, and no, they couldn't children. Have kids, so he went to a garden and he found some.
Yeah.
Okay. So the children's mother, Sylvia, who is the daughter of famous writer and artist George DeMaurier, who Barry was obsessed with.
Okay.
His biographer, Piers Dudgeon, believes that the fascination led Barry to begin stalking Sylvia and her boys, yikes, including orchestrating a casual run-in with Sylvia at a New Year's Eve party.
So that means he planned that.
He's a stalker.
He stalked her and was like, yo, bitch.
He's a stalker.
Hey, fancy meeting you here. Yeah. I only followed you like 7 blocks.
Yeah, do you know how hard it had to be to stalk back in the day?
Yeah, because you don't know. We were talking about this with you. You're the easiest person to stalk.
I know.
Because like
I'm on tour. It's like,
a comedian.
Here I am.
Is like,
come fucking
exactly.
Kill me.
Here I am. If you want to kill me.
Yeah, if you want to kill me.
I'll be on stage at 9:30.
Exactly. Yeah, and security's light. Security's light as fuck. The boy's father, Arthur, was a struggling lawyer and not a fan of Barry because
of course,
Barry was
hanging around his kids.
Family. Barry won the family's affection by giving them tons of money for cars and holidays abroad. This guy is a creep.
Yeah, he's giving the money for like, this is like grooming
shit. For cars.
Shit.
Yeah, this is grooming shit. Okay. Man, why didn't anyone groom me? I want money in cars. Now I'm too old to be groomed.
I mean, maybe. Bummer.
He was treated like an eccentric uncle, telling them fairy tales and playing weird pirate games where he pretended to be Captain Swarthy, who would become Captain Hook. He once forced 4-year-old Peter to walk the plank into murky waters of a so-called Black Lake at Barry's summer estate.
So there was a guy named Peter.
Yeah, so this is all real life.
So
he's just
writing about all his like
his fantasies.
He wanted to be on a he was Captain Hook.
Yeah.
I want Peter Pan.
In 1902, shit got weirder. Barry wrote a semi-autobiographical novel for the young boys called The Little White Bird. The protagonist becomes so obsessed with the young boy that he resolves to steal the boy away from his mother. Yikes. To make that happen, the character starts telling the boy a fantastical story about a magical boy named Peter Pan.
Mm.
The book was explicitly about the protagonist's intention. One line, it was a scheme conceived in a flash and ever since relentlessly pursued to take him out utterly from his mother.
Wow. So he's trying to steal this boy away. So
he's trying to steal these kids. So basically,
to take him to an island.
Kids, and he wanted kids. But I guess my thing is like, I can't tell if it's like he was just obsessed with the want of having kids because him and his wife couldn't have kids, or if he's sexually.
So, and that's the thing. Like, I saw this video the other day where it was these soccer players, right? And before the game, soccer players always have like kids in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was women soccer players and the girls in front of them were cold. So like the girls were like rubbing their shoulders and shit, right? And everybody was like, oh, their women are so special, but they're so endearing, they're warming the kids up. But another soccer player, Mbappe, did the same thing with a kid, and he was like warming the kid up because the kid was cold, and it was like, he's a fucking freak. And it was like, he literally just did, because men were historically awful people.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, we're pedophiles, we're murderers, so it looks bad. But like Mbappe was literally just like,
the same thing.
So like, I don't know. It's the optics of it is weird.
As a guy, you can't just like hang out in a garden with four kids that aren't your own.
No, like, and I don't like, even when looking at,
as a woman, you're like a nanny or a caretaker.
Yeah,
like, as a man, you're a fucking
freak.
Even as
like finding daycare for my daughter, like I got weirded out because the lady brother worked there. And I was like, what is he like? Does he teach classes?
Because he got molested by somebody at a daycare.
Yeah, but I'm just saying though, like, it's just like, yeah, I was just like, does he work there? Like, they're like, oh no, he doesn't have anything. But you don't want like a babysitter. You don't want a fucking man babysitting your kids. No babysitter.
Okay, eventually the story within the story would become Peter Pan, whose initial title was The Boy Who Hated Mothers. Okay.
I was like, your life story.
This guy really... I'm a boy who hates my mom. Okay. The book had some creepily intimate scenes of the narrator and the boy, including talking about his dripping little form in the bath and how when I essayed to catch him, he had slipped from my arms like a trout.
Okay, this guy's a kid fucker. Yeah, like he's not endearing, he's not missing the kids that he doesn't have. He's a weirdo. Like, and the water dripped off of his young supple body.
He looked like a trout. At this point, it's probably worth noting that despite the pervy undertones, Barry was probably impotent. As his wife said, their marriage was never consummated. It seems unlikely.
Oh, so he couldn't fuck her
because she wasn't a kid.
Yeah. So it wasn't that they could have kids. He just didn't have sex with her to have kids.
And it seems unlikely that his relationship with the young boys was ever sexually abusive. Okay. One of the boys later in life called him an innocent, and his most noted biographer who read all of his letters concluded that he was probably not a pedophile. Okay. So there's that. Okay, so maybe he's like one of those guys who is a pedophile, but he doesn't act on it. So he just wrote a play
about doing everything that he wants to do.
And he like, but he's not actually
he like,
doing
he like
the
fantasizes
damn thing.
About
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Okay, so that's the best kind of pedophile. You know, in terms of pedophiles.
I mean, if you don't act on it.
Yeah, the inactive ones.
Yeah.
Just the ones where it's just in your brain and you're
hanging
out.
It's not illegal to think.
Yeah, it's not
illegal.
It's
not illegal to think about it.
Not illegal to think.
Yeah, it's not illegal to think. Just don't do.
Still, he was a creep about these kids.
He was fucking creeping on these kids. Yeah. He's a fucking creeper, though.
In 1928, the preface to the Peter Pan play read, "I suppose I always knew that I made Peter by rubbing the five of you violently together."
1928.
Did I not say that?
No, Matt. So that's, he was like 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
"I suppose that I always knew that I made Peter by rubbing the five of you violently together." Who says that? "That is all he is. The spark I got from you."
So, I mean, he could have just said, Peter is a mix. No, he could have just said, Peter is a mixer, you five.
He could have said, "I wrote this play instead of fucking you all." It was one or the other.
But to say I violently rubbed you five together, like, he could have just been like, "Yo, bro, you guys inspired by the five of you."
Yeah, violently rubbing together is...
That was very vivid.
That's him jerking off.
Yeah.
Okay. And his letters were even creepier. He was especially obsessed with Michael. On his 8th birthday, Barry wrote to Michael, "I wish I could be with you and your candles. You can look on me as one of your candles, the one that burns badly, the greasy one that is bent in the middle, but still, hooray, I am Michael's candle. Yikes. Dear Michael, I am very fond of you, but don't tell anybody."
Oh, that's pedo talk right there.
Pedo talk. Don't tell anybody. That's the red flag. A childhood friend later described Michael and Barry's relationship as morbid and unhealthy.
Yeah, so his autobiographer is like, "No, he didn't even do nothing."
And he's like, "I'm like your greasy bent candle.
I'm your bent over greasy candle. And don't tell anybody I said this shit to you, Michael."
Oh, I hate this guy.
That's fucking weird, bro. Ugh.
So the boy's father died in 1907, and soon after, in 1910, their mother died too, both from cancer. And this is where things got really dark.
Okay, I want to hear. Let's hear this shit.
Okay, Barry was divorced by this point after his probably very sexually frustrated wife cheated on him.
She wasn't getting any.
She wasn't getting any dick. When their mother, she wasn't getting violently rubbed together, whatever he said. When their mother, Sylvia, was on her deathbed, Barry told the boys that Sylvia had agreed to marry him. The boys did not believe him.
So the dad died in 1907.
And then he's gaslighting these kids into thinking, or that's not the right word.
I was going to be your daddy.
Yeah. According to
gaslighting. Yeah.
According to both of his biographers, Sylvia's will left the boys to two guardians, her sister Jenny and their longtime nurse Mary. After he found the will, Barry transcribed it and sent it to the boy's grandmother, but not before changing Jenny to Jimmy, thus putting him in the custody agreement.
Jenny to Jimmy.
So it's supposed to go to Jenny, the friend Jenny, and then he changed that to Jimmy because he's quick with the pen. He pulled out his quill.
He's quick-witted.
He's quick-witted.
He licked it and like, sorry, this is for me.
From will to quill.
Ugh. This is fucking
As Dudgeon writes, he made the boys his own, and the alteration of Sylvia's will shows that his strategy was predatory.
Yeah.
This guy is a fucking trash bag. In 1946, Peter Lewin Davies described the way that he... So this is Peter Pan. This is Peter Pan. Described the way that he and his brothers were spirited away as children from my mother and father's friends. The whole business, as I look back on it, was almost unbelievably queer and pathetic and ludicrous and even macabre.
Yeah, queer is like...
kind of a way.
Was... what they're using it as like weird.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that's what it meant.
He called Peter Pan, of which he was the namesake, that terrible masterpiece. Okay, so these kids were abused.
They hate it.
They hate
the
it.
The terrible masterpiece.
Yeah.
I mean, we love it, but it came at the price of us getting our fucking booty holes touched.
Yeah, it's like the fucking Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Okay, the boys' lives went pretty tragic. George enlisted in World War One. Some historians think to escape Barry. He was killed in 1915. In 1921, Michael drowned as a student at Oxford in what many historians believe was a suicide pact with a male classmate he was in love with. Jack died of lung cancer in 1959. Peter killed himself by driving under a tube train the following year. Yeah, this guy.
These kids fucked these kids up. He fucked these kids up.
Peter
man.
Took care to burn all of Barry's letters to Michael before killing himself, calling them too much. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, he didn't want the world to see all this fucking, like, I'm going to lick your fucking bent candle.
Only Nico appears to have had a happy life. He must have been an ugly kid. He must have got no fucking touched. He got no smoke from Barry. Couldn't get fucking touched. D.H. Lawrence wrote, J.M. Barry has a fatal touch for those he loves. They die. Or, you know, get kidnapped. Okay, here we are.
Yeah.
Fuck. This is our first pedo on Scumbags of History, yeah?
This is our first...
I mean, he's not a confirmed pedo, but he is.
No, he's confirmed. That's confirmed. If you look at the context clues...
Yeah.
Like,
everyone
especially,
killed themselves.
Everyone killed themselves. Yeah. Like, the one had a suicide pact with his gay lover. Like,
yeah. Do you know how bad you have to be fucking tortured to have a Disney movie written about you and hate it?
Yeah.
Because, like, kids love being the center of attention. Yeah. Unless it comes at being someone's bent, wax candle.
A tragic masterpiece.
Dude, that's dark. That's the fucking dark arts right there. I hate it. Yeah. You go first on your scumbag.
I want 100, bro.
I'm fucking 100. There's no room.
There's no redeemable fucking qualities for this.
There's no room when you fuck with kids.
No, bro. 100, bro. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't.
100. I didn't even know who he was, and now I hate him.
I hate him. I fucking hate him, bro. I'll never watch that movie the same.
I'll never watch that movie again.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only maybe watched it once. But, like. No, you fuck with, not even fuck with one kid, five kids.
All brothers.
All brothers, two of them killed themselves because of you. Absolutely
and then change,
fucking not.
Change the will.
Kitty fuckers can, all of them can get fucked. They ruin generations.
Generations, yeah. Because like if you don't deal with that shit, then you project that shit onto other people. Not even like touching people, but like your emotions and the way you handle things. Like if people don't take care of that shit, like people kill themselves.
Mom. Yeah.
Fuck man, fuck you, fucking J.M. Barry.
Fuck
bro.
You.
He's the first hundred. He's our first hundred.
He's our first hundred.
He's our first hundred.
First unanimous. Yeah, we agree.
We said instantly 100.
100. Any kitty fuckers that come on here, good luck not getting 100. You're getting 100, man. And also Peter Pan. Sorry, you're not that lit. That fucking movie's not that good to redeem from anything.
Hook is good, but I don't like the fucking.
I mean, here's the thing. If we do Michael Jackson, that's when we're going to have, that's when we're going to have to really figure out.
Figure out?
Pedophiles get 100.
I don't, that's a different story.
Yeah,
I guess it's iconic.
The iconic fucking output of gandering into a butthole.
Yeah, J.M. Barry, bro.
It's way different than Peter fucking Pan.
Yeah.
All right. Let's factor in his legacy. No, his legacy. Fuck him.
He fucking, it's not that great.
He ruined five people's lives. Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. What a loser. What a
fucking douchebag.
Oh, I hate him.
Nausea.
I want to be like self-deprecating and be like, we're all bad guys. No, though.
No, we're not this bad.
We're not this bad.
This is the scumbag of all scumbags.
This is the tip top.
He's our first 100.
He's our first 100. Tip top. And not even flinching. 100.
No. 100.
100. And they're like, it's not confirmed. It's confirmed.
It's confirmed.
When somebody is a victim of childhood abuse like that and they end up killing themselves, that's the confirmation. It happened.
When his brother killed himself, he went and burned all his letters.
Right. Because he said it was too much.
Yeah.
Which means
that was
shit. And by the way, one of the ones that he didn't burn is like, I'm your greasy bent over candle. Because he's like, that's not too much.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Your greasy bent over candle.
Yeah. If anyone ever said, I'm your greasy bent over candle, I would put a fucking bullet in their head.
I'm going to put that in my profile on Instagram. I'm your greasy bent over candle. The comedy of Mateen Stewart.
Okay, question for the fans. Have you ever told a joke that aged poorly? Sure,
There's no joke here.
There's no joke. Have you ever fucked a kid that didn't go so well?
Have you ever fucked a kid and wrote a masterpiece? Yeah,
have you ever held down your pedophilia and then wrote a Disney movie? Yeah.
Oh my god. This is awful.
The call to action is don't fuck kids.
Yeah,
fucking, or I will come to your house.
Yeah, donate to a fucking abused kid.
Nancy Kerrigan your ass.
Shit. Yeah, fuck that shit,
man. God. People are trash. I hate this guy. Yeah. Remember in the beginning when I was like, I already like him because he's Scottish. Now I don't like Scottish.
Now
I don't
like Scottish people.
I don't like Scottish accents. I don't like Scottish people. It's over.
JMB Jim Barry.
Just how is he a sir too?
Yeah,
that means we knight his ass.
They knighted him.
We knighted his ass after he fucking ruined.
The Queen of England did that.
Of course, she did.
The British royal family's pieces of shit.
God damn it.
Yeah, James Matthew.
That mustache.
Yeah.
Now back to that mustache smelling.
Yeah, yeah. J.M. Barry.
That's where he kept all his secrets.
I don't trust initials. I don't trust two initial people.
I don't trust his ass at all.
Look at this. This picture definitely looks like a fucking...
He's a pedo.
He's a pedo, bro.
He's a pedo.
Yeah, man.
He's got that look in his eyes.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
We're looking at pictures
of him right now.
Ooh, I hate him.
Yeah. Look at him. He's got
that vacancy.
Yeah.
You know, like serial killers and pedophiles have like that vacancy.
Yeah, there's nothing behind those doors.
Yeah,
but,
nobody's
but
home.
Evilness.
Nobody's... Yeah, the inn's empty.
Yeah.
Okay, we hate him.
Yeah, fuck
first,
you, JM.
First hundred down.
First 100, write right. it up.
Well,
ding,
that
ding,
that's
ding.
Our show for today,
that's
JM Barry. Get fucked in hell.
Get fucked in hell.
All right, that's our show for today. If you're enjoying Scumbags of History, let us know. Wherever you're listening to podcasts, go give us 5 stars, subscribe, do all the stuff that is not scumbag would do.
No, yeah.
Prove to us that you're better than both of us. I am a certified scumbag, Brittany Schmidt.
And I'm certified scumbag, Mateen Stewart.
It's been fun partying. See you next time.
Yeah, subscribe, like, review.
Shut up, Mateen. Bye.
Peace.
Hey listeners, Mateen here. Brittany and I just want to say thank you guys for listening to our podcast. It means so much to us. We want to continue to be able to make the show great for you, and an excellent way for us to do that is to make sure that you tell us more about you, who you are, and what you like. There's a survey link in the show notes. If you can fill that out, it would help us continue making the show as great as it can be for you. Thank you. See you later, scumbags.
Someone stands frozen, their hearts pounding. Sweat pours down their face as they gasp for air. They struggle to get out words, but it's of no use. They are dying. Dying on stage in front of hundreds of people. A comedian's life is not all laughs. Sometimes there is silence, dead silence. I'm comedian Jeff Charlebois, and with my co-host Golly Krupp, we interview comedians who have returned from beyond the grave to give us their worst bombing experiences on stage and how they rose from the ashes to have a successful comedy career. You may laugh at them, you may even feel for them, but most of all, you'll thank your lucky stars that it wasn't you up on that stage. As they recount the bombing, you'll explode with laughter. So join me on this unique podcast called The Night I Died from Voyage Media, anywhere you listen to podcasts.